As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with you, God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One and with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I love the Psalms. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this moment together. We thank you for this brief moment in our week where we come together collectively to worship you, to praise you, and to receive from you. So this morning, Lord, we promise that we are receptive, that we are expecting, we are ready and waiting to hear a word directly from you, Lord. And we pray, Father, that this word would take root on our hearts and produce a mighty harvest in our lives, that we might know you better, that we might see you more clearly, that our hearts would be uplifted, our souls would be encouraged. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Hope for the world. I don't know if we have any bakers in the house. We have any bakers in the house? Three or four of you? Well, when I was a kid, I used to play this game. I enjoyed putting ingredients together in a bowl and trying to bake something, making it up as I went along. Has anyone ever done that game before? A couple of you, Titus is nodding his head. I used to play that game. And, you know, it's funny because if you don't understand about key ingredients when you're trying to bake something, you might make a big mess. It might not taste very good when it comes out of the oven. Can I get an amen there? The cookies I'd try to make, I'd throw some flour in there, maybe some sugar and, you know, some my wife's laughing. It's like, you still cook like that, honey. Some milk, and I'd whip it all together and put it on a cookie sheet and put it in the oven and hoping I'd invented something awesome, and of course it usually didn't work out too well. And the reason is because I did not understand how key ingredients work together, right? If you've got some eggs, if you've got some baking powder, if you've got some butter, these ingredients that you put together to bake some cookies or to bake a cake, they have a chemical reaction with each other, don't they? And that chemistry of those ingredients allows you to bake something that is good, that's nourishing, that tastes good, that you want. But without the right ingredients or with one missing ingredient, everything can come out a little sideways. So if you pull the eggs out of the recipe and there's no eggs in there, it's not going to work out the right way, right? You take the sugar out, you take the baking powder out, and all of a sudden you don't have what you were expecting. And life is like that. There's some key ingredients to life, isn't there? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, that faith, hope, and love are essentially the key ingredients to life. They're the key ingredients that your soul needs to flourish and to live and to prosper. Paul writes these three things, faith, hope, and love. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of hope. Hope is one of these key ingredients. It's one of the key ingredients to your soul, to life, that you absolutely need if you're going to keep going forward and live the life that God has planned for you and called you to live, which is a life that is hopeful for your tomorrow. You see, there's a difference between biblical hope and worldly hope, isn't there? Come on, these ingredients that we're talking about, these are divine ingredients. These are supernatural ingredients, right? You can't get these ingredients at the local supermarket. You can't get these ingredients from a person or from TV or from Oprah Winfrey or from a self-help book. These ingredients, we're talking about divine ingredients. Ingredients that can only come because of the fact that there's a living God, right? So we're not talking about, I hope the Seahawks win tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. I hope she says yes when I ask her out on a date. I hope I get the job. I hope this, see, this is not the type of hope that's described in the Bible. The Bible talks about a hope that is much more meaningful, a hope that is anchored in a person. And when your hope is anchored in a person, that hope comes with a greater significance than putting it in Russell Wilson. Right? We put our hope in the Seahawks. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose the Super Bowl on the one-yard line. Right? See, it's the person you're putting your hope in that really matters, right? You can have a ton of hope in your team, or a ton of hope in your abilities, or a ton of hope in the economy, or a ton of hope in your spouse, or a ton of hope in your business. All of these, you can put your hope in things, but your hope is only as good as the thing you're putting it in. You see, you can walk out on thin ice and be very hopeful and crash through. Or you can just very calmly walk out on thick ice, and you might be unsure, but as long as it's thick, it's the reliability of the person you're putting your hope in that matters. So if you put your hope in a person named Jesus, you put your hope in the right direction, haven't you? You see, because Jesus is a hope that does not disappoint. When you put your hope in Jesus, you've put your hope in the most reliable option in the universe. There's no more reliable person, there's no more reliable option to put your hope and faith in than the man called Jesus Christ. You see, so many people live without a deep anchor of hope in their souls that's connected to Jesus. And so we live our lives like a roller coaster. Whichever way the wind's blowing, or whichever way the circumstances are blowing, that is where our souls go. So we're tossed to and fro based on what he said and she said, and based on what my boss did, and based on the economy, and based on, you know, my spouse, or based on my kids, when all the while there is an anchor of our souls, and his name is Jesus Christ. And an anchor keeps you steady and keeps you calm, and it keeps you positioned even when the waves are going all over the place. I want to talk to you about Jesus as the hope for the world. In Isaiah, Matthew 12:21, Isaiah prophesied about this Jesus. Hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born as a man. He said his name will be the hope of all the world. His name will be the hope of all the world. Jesus is the hope of the entire world. All the nations, all the people groups, when they hear the name of Jesus, just a faint hearing of the name of Jesus inspires hope in the heart of man. Even the distant unbelievers, the naysayer, the skeptic, when they hear the name of Jesus, there is hope connected to that name. Come on, even you reject Jesus. You put Jesus on the side. You put Jesus on the back burner. But once in a while, you hear that name, Jesus, and it conjures in you, well, maybe there is hope for my life. Maybe there is hope for humanity. Maybe there is hope for our future. Maybe this whole thing isn't just going to burn up and the galaxies burn. See, this is what would happen. The galaxies would just burn up. The earth would just flame up if things keep going the way they're going for the next millennium, the next thousands and thousands of years. But if there's a Jesus, if there's a God, there is hope for our future. There's hope for your life. There's hope for your tomorrow. There's hope for your future. There's hope for your afterlife in Jesus Christ. He is the hope of all mankind. I want to take you back to Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2. I want to take you through three things we read in these five verses. I want to speak to the searchers, I want to speak to those who are hurting, and I want to speak to those who are in mourning. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God. And not just any God. Not some fake God. Not some religion. My soul thirsts for a real God. My soul thirsts for more than just a church experience. My soul thirsts for more than just the programs. My soul thirsts for a living God, a real God, a God who can really meet me in my deepest need, in my darkest hour. I need to know that there's something real out there. I want to talk to the seekers this morning. Those of you who are wondering about this Jesus, those of you who are wondering, is God really who he says he is? Does God really care about me the way that you talk about in the Bible? Does he really know me? Does he really care about me? I want to talk to the seekers and searchers, because deep down in every human heart, there is a longing and a thirsting and a desire for God. Oh, we can put on a plastic face and we can pretend like we're so joyful, and we can pretend like we've got it all together. But at the end of the day, every human heart longs for God. You see, God's looking for a people that know how to think a little deeper than a lot of people think. God's looking for somebody who can think deeper, who can ask questions like, where in the world did I come from? Why am I on this planet? What's my purpose in life? How am I supposed to live? What happens after I die? You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we get through the next hit of caffeine, when we get through the next hit of Facebook likes, come on, somebody, when we get through the next football game, when we get through the next thing that tantalizes us for a short season, at some point, we got to start asking the deep questions of life. Why do I exist? What started all of this stuff? How in the world are there stars in the sky? We have to start asking the questions, those longing questions that we all know deep down inside, that when we look at a newborn baby that just came out of the womb and we know that baby has intrinsic value. Why does that baby have intrinsic value if it's nothing more than an accidental collection of atoms? There must be some kind of God. There must be some kind of purpose. There must be something deeper and more meaningful for why I exist on this planet. We get through the smoke and mirrors of the world and the games and the enemy and all the things that they say, that you just create your own meaning in life. Well, if there is no God and you create your own meaning, your meaning is as worthless as the person next to you. Because you just constructed your own meaning. Well, my purpose is to make a lot of money. My purpose is to go out and do this and be the best baseball player in the world. Good for you. If there's no God, if you aren't here for a reason, you can construct any purpose you want in your own mind, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. But if there is a God who created you on purpose and for a purpose, your life means something. And God's looking for a people who will think deeper about their meaning and purpose on this planet. God's looking for a people who will thirst after him, who will thirst after the knowledge of God, who will thirst after an understanding. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? How am I supposed to live my life? And what's going to happen after I die? Do we rot and become fertilizer? Or is there something after this life that Jesus promised that I can put my hope in? Why not just eat, drink, and be merry and die? Let's just party it up, drink some Guinness, hang out. Don't drink Guinness. I'm not telling anyone to drink. I'm just saying. That's what they say. Eat, drink, and be merry. There's no God. Let's just party hardy, have a good time. And just go on out in flames. We're just going to rot and become fertilizer anyway, right? But Jesus said, hogwash. You are here for a reason. And so God wants to speak to some of you who actually are beginning to ask those deep questions and are wondering, what is my life all about? Why am I here? What is my purpose? This, ladies and gentlemen, is a soul that is thirsting for God. You know, the Bible says that even the stars proclaim the glory of God. The stars proclaim. Let's go to Psalm 19, 1 through 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. In other words, the stars and all of creation are telling you a story. God's creation and God's handiwork, though they don't speak, they are speaking to us that there is a God who put all of this together. Come on now. Come on, look up into the stars and count them if you are able, and tell me that all of this order and design happened by accident. The Bible says only a fool says in his heart that there is no God. It's foolishness. It's foolish talk. Paul goes even a little further in the book of Romans. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Do you hear what God is saying? He is saying that the way he created all of this and the way that he wired us was to intrinsically and innately know and understand in our hearts that he is real. So to deny his existence is folly in the mind of God. No one can be up and stand before God and say, God, I never really knew. I never really had enough evidence. I never really could understand. It's not my fault. God, it's your fault. You should have done more to show yourself and reveal yourself to me. God says that will not pass the test. Because you just look at creation and you know that there's a God and you can see an invisible God through his creation. You see, the creation is the evidence that God is real. The fact that you reel back in moral indignation over atrocities that you see shouts to you that there's really a God. For if there is no God, there's no such thing as a moral absolute. And if there's no moral absolute, human minds create what's right and wrong, which means your version is no better or worse than mine. And Mother Teresa's is no better or worse than Adolf Hitler's version of right or wrong. The Nazis had their reasons for what they did. They intellectually came to the conclusion that what they were doing was good. Well, there's a law above man's law. And the Bible says in Romans 2, that even the Gentiles who do not have the law of God have the law of God in their own conscience. They know intrinsically whether they've done right or they have done wrong. God has put an alarm system in us to inform us that there is a moral lawgiver. We desire purpose and meaning. We thirst and long for something deeper, something to satisfy these deep questions and longings in our heart. If you're a searcher, I want to tell you that there's hope for you. Because there is a Jesus who created you, who spoke the world into existence, who loves you and knows you and wants to satisfy you with a water in a well that runs so deep, it runs and springs up into eternal life. There is a quenching to the thirst of your soul where you will never thirst again, Jesus said. Let's go to John 4:14, please. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. I give them water that will spring up. It will come, become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Your salvation, your being regenerated and connected and infused and brought together as one with the Holy Spirit, God living in you. An unquenchable water, a water that flows for eternity and springs up and takes you all the way to the future. Whenever you're thirsty, there's water. And the searching, ladies and gentlemen, is over. And you have come home when you found Jesus. Without Jesus, the searching will go on and on and on. No one and no thing will ever satisfy the longing of your soul until you know Jesus personally. There is hope for the searcher in Jesus. In verse 3, I want to tell you there's hope for the hurting. In Psalm 42:3 says, my tears have been my food day and night. Have you ever felt like that? Or you've lost your appetite. Sometimes when we're going through stuff, we don't want to eat anymore. Food has lost its flavor. Nothing sounds good anymore. I'm eating my own tears. My tears have replaced my appetite. Some of you, you're in a season where your tears have been your food day and night. People are saying to you, and you're starting to wonder yourself, where is this God? Where is this God in the middle of my circumstance? Where is this God in the middle of my situation? God, I've lost my appetite here. I'm tired of the same routine over and over. I need you to breathe something new in my life. God, I need you to come into this situation. I need you to give me some rest. Give me some hope. Help me through this thing. I want to tell you that those who are hurting, there's hope in Jesus. You see, Jesus can meet you in your deepest need. Jesus can meet you in your darkest hour in a way that nobody else can meet you. Come on, Jesus can whisper something in your ear that no one else can whisper to you. Jesus knows just how to talk to you, knows just how to meet you. He knows just how to connect with you when you need him the most. And there's nobody who can reach me like Jesus can reach me. God, life has lost its color. Life seems to have lost its appetite. I'm going through the motions. I don't have this drive and this sense of purpose, and I'm hurting. I'm wounded. If you're somebody who's hurting, there is hope in Jesus. I want to take you to Romans 8:35 to give you encouragement. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, do not make the mistake of believing because something bad happened to you that that must mean God doesn't love you. Come on now, let me say. Don't make the mistake of believing that just because something bad happened to you that it means God doesn't love you. That's the oldest trick in the book. Come on, the devil's been playing that game for eons. Oh, you see what happened to you? If God was really with you, that wouldn't happen to you. You know who suffered more than all of us? Jesus. He went through emotional abuse. He went through physical abuse. He went through it all. He drank this cup of sin. Some of us were bound up in issues and mistakes and sins and regrets. And Jesus is your hope. Jesus can give you back your appetite for life. Jesus can give you back your appetite for life. Some of us, we're in this place because God's waiting for you to cry out to him. Pain can be God's megaphone shouting to you, will you just cry out to me? Will you just cry out to me? Will you just stop relying on everybody and everything else? Will you just reach out to me? Because I long and I desire to meet your soul where it's in its darkest place. I desire and long to gather you together, to bless you, to hug you, to tell you that I love you, to meet you there and to give you a supernatural peace and a hope that you can't get anywhere else. God is longing to meet your soul right where it is. But you gotta look up. You got to look up from your circumstances. Look up from your complaining. Look up from all these things that are happening and just start looking up to Jesus. The Bible says that God cannot turn away a broken heart. if you long for him, if you're in a season of brokenness, Jesus is your hope. This is who you cling to. I can remember seasons in my life. The whole world has been turned upside down. Everything I thought I knew, the whole life I'd been building for years and years, it's like the rug was pulled out from under me. Everything seemed like a waste. Anybody ever been there? Everything seemed like a big waste. What am I even doing? What have I been doing all these years? God was my anchor of hope through the darkest seasons. Jesus had a way of reaching me. You see, no man can give you this type of eternal hope. No man can do this. They don't have the power to do this. Only God can do this. God's looking for you to seek him for your hope in the middle of your hurting season. Psalm 42:4. Hope for the morning. The psalmist continues to write who most theologians believe is actually David. David starts remembering. Have you ever been there? Have you ever started remembering and thinking back on the way it used to be? Come on, a little Uncle Rico. That went right over your heads. Uncle Rico remembers how it used to be when he was a starting quarterback in high school. And ever since then, life has never been as good. David starts remembering the way it used to be. And when you start remembering the way it used to be, full of sorrow in your heart, it's called mourning. There's something that you have lost, and your life will never be the same. We've all lost something that changed the trajectory of our lives forever. Something shifted, something changed. We went from a season to a new season. We lost a loved one. God did something in our lives. Or something happened that was unexpected, and all of a sudden we can find ourselves, if we're not careful, and we're looking back and remembering the way it used to be when my babies were young. Now I'm an empty nest. What am I going to do? Life has lost its appetite. Where's my purpose now? Because I put everything into raising my babies. Now they don't need me anymore. Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your purpose. David says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God. I used to praise God. I used to go there under the protection of the Mighty One. And I used to be full of joy and praise. You see, Jesus wants to give you something in your life, which is him and his purpose in your life that transcends every temporal thing in your life. Which means I want to tell you young people, you young newlyweds, don't put all of your purpose into the temporal things. Make sure Jesus is connected to the purpose of your life. It's more than just your marriage, and it's more than just your kids. It's more than just your business. This is something eternal God's doing in you. God's got an eternal purpose connected to your life. And when you connect with the eternal purpose in your life, when transitions and seasons come and go, you will always have hope deep in your soul. Don't put all your identity in your job. Don't place all your identity in your children. Don't place all your identity in your spouse. Your identity is in Jesus. And he's put his DNA in you. God's got purpose for you no matter which season of life you're in. So God doesn't want us to look back on yesteryear and be like Uncle Rico and say, oh, the glory days when it used to be good in my life, when my life used to have purpose, when Jesus used to be working in my life, when I used to have joy, when I used to praise. Come on, there's still some praise and joy in your future. Can I get an amen? There's praise and joy in your now season. Can I get an amen? God hasn't forgotten about you. God hasn't put you out to pasture. God still has something for you to do. God still has purpose and meaning and blessing for you. If he was finished with you on this planet, he'd take you on to eternity. But you're still sucking wind here, aren't you? And you're still sucking wind because God still has purpose for you here. God wants the shouts of joy and praise to return into you. I really feel like that empty nester thing. I didn't plan on saying that. I really think the Spirit is dealing with some people and encouraging you. That you feel like you've lost your identity. You feel like you've lost your purpose. God says, I'm your identity. I am your purpose. God wants you to get more excited about your future than your past. God wants you to know that there's hope for tomorrow, that there's greater things to come than what happened last year and 10 years ago when life was really working on all cylinders and now just things. It's mourning. Jesus is the hope for the mourner. I'm going to take you to verse 5. Actually, let's go to Revelation 21:4. This is what God promises. I want you to think about this. Is God's purpose and plan. He says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or what? Mourning. Or crying, or pain. For the old order of things have passed away. God has brought a new order of things. God has brought heaven down to earth. You see, God has taken the purposeless and given them purpose. God has taken the weak and made them strong, hasn't he? God will speak into the soul of the mourner and get them thinking about their tomorrow. The prophet said, don't you see? I'm doing a new thing here. See, God's doing a new thing in your life. And that new thing might be in seed form. And just because you don't see the thing's sprouting up yet, it doesn't mean those seeds aren't working. There's always something new that God's up to in our lives. He says, I make all things new. He's the God of new. He's the God of your yesterday, today, and your tomorrow. And Psalm 42:5, and we'll have the worshipers come up here. Here's how the psalmist replies and responds to his searching, to his hurting and to his mourning. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Three things I want to give you. Three things I want to give you in closing. This is so critical. This is so important. Here's what the psalmist does. That is our marching orders. The first thing is some point, you're going to have to start talking to yourself. Come on, that went right over your heads. At some point, you're going to have to start speaking to your own soul. Wait a second here, soul. You've taken your eye off the ball. You've taken your eye off Jesus. Start questioning your own feelings. Come on, somebody. Start questioning your own depression. Start questioning your own sorrow. Start questioning your own pain. Start questioning your own feelings of defeat and insignificance. Why, my soul, are you downcast? At some point, God wants you to rise up and be like David, who the Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord. When no one else was there to speak a word of life to him, when everyone else was coming against him, when everyone else was pointing fingers at him, at some point you're going to have to learn how to strengthen your own self in the Lord. Come on, there's not going to always be a pastor there for you. You're not going to always hear a sermon on the radio. You're not going to always have somebody to whisper to you. Some point you're going to have to go to Jesus for yourself and say, my soul, why aren't you hoping in Jesus? Speak to your own soul. Speak to your own emotions. Speak to your own feelings. Speak to your own thoughts. Question these things that are pulling you down. Why, my soul, are you? Why are you so disturbed within me? In Joel 3:10, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. I feel weak. Why do I feel weak? I feel like quitting. Why do I feel like quitting, soul? God never told me to quit. God never told me to be depressed. The word of the Lord didn't speak this into me. Some of you think that it's fake and it's hypocrisy to have faith. If you feel weak, speak to your soul. And say, soul, I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I might feel weak, but my God is strong. I might be insufficient, but my God is more than sufficient. I might be weak, but God is mighty on my behalf. Paul said that when he feels the weakest, that's when he's the strongest. Speak to your soul, people. Come on, get engaged in your faith. Don't sit there and let life pass you by and let emotions and thoughts dominate in you and manipulate you and guide your life. Your brain, your thoughts are like the steering wheel of your soul. Everything else follows what you choose to think. Do not underestimate the importance of a renewed mind in Christ. When you start thinking a thing, your thoughts will dictate how you feel. Don't let your feelings dictate how you think. Renew your mind so that what you're feeling catches up to what you've been thinking, and let your thinking align itself with the mind of Christ. Be ye transformed by the spiritual renewal of your mind. Some of you have broken records going on in your mind, and you never stop to consider casting down that imagination. That's not an imagination from God. Don't let your imagination run wild in doubt, run wild in fear, run wild in doom, run wild in gloom. Let your imagination be rooted in the hope of Jesus. Let your imagination be rooted and shaped by what the word of the Lord is saying to you. Your feelings are not reality. Jesus is your reality. He's given you dominion to think the thoughts of God and to keep your emotions in check. You see, you have an anchor to your soul that is more powerful and reliable than how you feel when you wake up in the morning. Yeah. Or how you feel when your boss is mean to you. Or how you feel when you don't want to take another step forward. God is your anchor. The next thing the psalmist does, he says, hope in God. Why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed? Put your hope in God. That's why we're disturbed. And that's why we're downcast. Because our hope is not placed fully in God. Oh, I'm not saying that we don't believe God. I'm not saying we're not saved. I'm not saying we don't have eternal life. I'm saying sometimes we take our eye off the ball, don't we? Sometimes we let the circumstances and the voices and the feelings begin to tell us our reality. And we got to get back and look towards heaven and look to the stars and begin to see God's reality again. You would be so surprised what God wants to say to you. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. God has purpose in your life. God hasn't written you off because of what you've done. That's why the blood of Jesus comes in so handy, doesn't it? He didn't just cover your sins. He takes away your sins. And when you do something out of character and you feel ashamed, that doesn't end your purpose. You see, God delights in forgiving his people. God is quick to forgive. He's slow to anger. Get out of your wallowing. Get out of your guilt. Get out of your shame. And rise up and understand he still has purpose and meaning for your life. He still has something he wants you to do. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Have we not put our faith and our hope in Jesus? Do we not know the implications of what that means? Romans 8, 24, 25, who hopes for what they have already have? If you already have it, you don't need to hope for it. But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. Some of you are like, I'm waiting for my body to feel better. Waiting for this depression to dissipate. I'm waiting for this door to open. I'm waiting. Keep on waiting and keep on hoping in Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus' hope does not disappoint. Start talking to your soul. Start hoping again in Jesus. And finally, he says, for surely I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I want to talk to some of you. We need to learn the art of praise in this church. You see, you don't just praise God when you feel like praising God. You don't just praise God because circumstances match up with your praise. You praise God because of who God is, not because of what's happening. You praise God because he's worthy to be praised. You praise God because he's faithful regardless of your circumstances. You praise God because your tomorrow is bright and your future is bright because Jesus is faithful to 1,000 generations. You praise God because he doesn't lose the Super Bowl on the 1-yard line. You praise him because he's eternal. You praise him because he's almighty. You praise him because he's all powerful. You praise him because he's faithful to you. Come on, I need to see the praise and worship of God rise up in this church. If we're ever going to see things begin to change, a hurting and broken world doesn't want to come into a church that looks depressed. A hurting and broken world wants to come someplace where they have something they don't have yet. Let the world see, let Black Diamond see that we are a people that praise God. Even when our circumstances don't look right, we still praise God. Even when we lose the Super Bowl, we still praise God. I'm telling you right now, our church culture has not arrived yet when it comes to praising God. We're too quiet and we're too subdued and we're too dignified. When you really know something, when you really experience God, when you really know what he's done in your life, sometimes you just have to shout hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to get happy in God. Sometimes you got to recognize that God's still on your side. And if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, somebody. You go into those churches that are praising God, and some of you mock them and you think they're ridiculous. Faith looks ridiculous to the doubter. Do not mock a church that knows how to praise God. Do not roll your eyes at a church that rises up in praise and thanksgiving and knows how to shout unto the living God. The Bible says to clang the cymbals and to shout to God. David, for crying out loud, danced out of his own clothing, and they mocked him for it. Let the people mock us. Let the doubters mock us. We will praise the Lord with a shout and with a loud voice. Somebody say, hallelujah. God is looking for that in us. Telling you right now, let's not be that church that doesn't know how to be happy and rejoice in the Lord. You say, but what about what I'm going through? I love you all. I love you all. Matthew 12:21. Catch this. This is the end right here. Listen to this. This is the Message version. The mere sound, the articulation, the verbal expression of the name of Jesus signals hope even among far-off unbelievers. Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your hope. And when we get hopeful and we begin to proclaim the name of Jesus, even the unbelievers from distant places, the most hardened soul, the most hardened heart, when they hear the mere sound of his name, it says something deep inside where they know deep inside there's still hope. Even though my thoughts are dark, even though my doubt is hard, even though I'm so much of a skeptic and I resist everything of God, when they hear the name of Jesus, it provokes hope in people. It provokes life. It provokes potential. It provokes hope to the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the greatest program on the planet. Come on, we got the greatest community on the planet. The body of Christ, indwelled with the Spirit of God, infused with the life of Jesus, filled up with the word of the Lord, full of truth, full of grace, full of love, and full of hope. This is the refuge center for the world. And when an unbeliever comes in, even though they don't believe yet, they hear the name of Jesus and it does something deep inside where they think, maybe, just maybe, there is a God who loves me. Maybe when I was a young boy and I thought I believed in Jesus and then I got too smart for God and I rejected him, maybe that Jesus I once believed in is true after all. Ladies and gentlemen, let us be the most hope-filled people on the planet. I'm going to speak to you and pray for you. If you feel discouraged this morning, if you feel like you don't have hope, if you feel like you're mourning, if you feel like you're thinking about how it used to be, if you're feeling like you're thirsting and you're searching, I'm telling you right now, there's a God who loves you, and he loves you unconditionally. He's not waiting for you to get yourself right. You can't get yourself right. You can't get yourself together. Get your eyes off the church and get it back up on Jesus. Church is going to let you down. People are going to let you down. Christianity is going to let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. Don't reject Jesus because of something that's not Jesus. Don't put your expectations in people. Put your hope in God. Put your faith in Jesus. Don't give people that much power over you. Well, that pastor did that, or that person said that, or this person did that. Why would you give them so much power over your life? It's God who you put your faith in. It's God who will never fail you. It's God who will never let you down. It's God who will always be truthful. It's God who will always be perfectly authentic in your life. Father, I pray for the mourners. I pray for the searchers. If you're a searcher, I just want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus right now. You don't have to wait another moment. God will meet you right where you are. You know there's more to life than these fleeting things that you fill yourself with. You know there's something deeper. That something deeper is Jesus. You do have purpose. You're not a cosmic accident. There is meaning to this thing, and there is life after death. Jesus proved it. He said, anyone who believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. And he backed it up with an historical resurrection from the dead. He is the most reliable option. I invite you, I compel you, and I plead with you. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in God. Stop playing the mental gymnastics. Cut it out. Life is too short. Jesus is too good. God is too real to play games. He says, creation proclaims the glory of God. You see the invisible God through the manifestation of his handiwork. If that's you, I just want to invite you, Father, in the name of Jesus, let those hearts turn to you. Let them receive your offer of grace and forgiveness. Let their lives never be the same. Infuse them and fill them with the Holy Spirit now. If that's you, you just You just reach out to God in your own soul, in your own mind, in your own words. And you take that response and you say yes to Jesus now. Life won't always be perfect, but Jesus will always be perfect in your life. For those of you who are hurting, I just want to tell you what the psalmist told you. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Why is your soul downcast? Lift up your eyes. God is your hope. God is your refuge. Come on, find your peace in him. And begin to praise and worship him. Begin to rejoice in Jesus once more. Father, I pray for the rejoicing of God. I pray for the praise of God, the joy of the Lord. God, I pray that you would fill your people. Let sorrow be turned to joy. Let brokenness be turned to wholeness. Lord, for this is the purpose for which you came, to set the captives free, to preach liberty to the captives, to manifest the kingdom of heaven on this planet. There is a supernatural peace and joy that belongs to you. Claim it. Own it. Speak back to your soul and say, no, I refuse to go down into the gutter. Thank you, Father. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.